Matthew chapter 5, when he's going on the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest sermon ever preached. And I've heard, I don't know, thousands, but this is still the most greatest of all messages ever preached. And it's from the Prince of Preachers himself, Jesus, the very darling Son of God. So, and we went briefly over the blessings as the Beatitudes at the beginning. The thing, in other words, the new world order that Jesus gives, he pulls in a new world order and he's getting his everybody to think in a different frame of mind. And it's, and he uses a lot of oxymorons. In other words, what we think is right, what makes sense to us or what makes sense to the world, it's just the opposite with God. I mean, he said, blessed are they that are last, for they shall be first. And that's what we're saying. What? I mean, we're taught through school, you run a race, who wins the race? The one that comes in first. Our whole Olympics, your race cars, you know, it ain't the first one that, you know, Jesus is saying, no, the last shall be first and the first shall be last. So the way the Lord speaks here is totally new. It's totally foreign. So get the frame of mind, get to, he's speaking to his disciples, to the multitudes. And as he spoke to them, and the two that really speak, now out of the Beatitudes here, which one speaks to you the most? I mean, if you was going to pick one of these blessed, which one speaks to you the most? You think on that while I talk. One I like is, blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Remember what the word blessed means? Supremely blessed. Fortunate. You're well off. We think the world teaches us to be well off is to be what? Win $10 million, you'll be well off. Or you have this car, you have this home, you have all what we was taught when we were younger, but it's the opposite here. Jesus speaks in a totally different way. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. In other words, there's opportunities. But he's bringing us to a place of mind for his listeners. And we're his listeners right now. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. And he's talking about another period of time. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. That we make peace. We're constantly trying to make peace, not trying to stir things up. Blessed are they which do persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And then he goes into another state of mind almost, and he said, blessed are ye when men shall revile you, and this is where we left off, and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. In other words, he says it's going to come. If you live for me and you follow me, this is going to happen. People are going to take you the wrong way. There's no other way. We're sitting in church this morning. It's a sunny day. People think, boy, I'm going to go out and be on my boat, my yacht. I'm going to do what I want to do. It's Sunday. And we're in the house of God listening to the Word of God. And people call us lunatics and crazy. There's some that don't come to Sunday school. And they miss on the Word of God. And then he says this in verse 12. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. So as, and like I said, I love the way God orchestrates that, brother, because it's not just this earth here. There's another, which would you rather have, 70 years, maybe plus, that you might live here on earth and put your wealth, your time, your energy, your influence, your power all on this earth or in eternity? Forever, which would be wiser to invest in? Eternity or in this life? You invest in this life, and what's going to happen? Your kids are going to fight over it. They're going to sell your property, sell all we got, and fight over it doing it. But you invest in eternity, we're going to be there. And our inheritance waits for us of all what we do for the Lord. God said we shall receive a reward. All our work shall be tried by fire, what sort it is. So he's getting his disciples and his followers here to think in another frame of mind. And he says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. And he just got through talking, when men will revile you, rejoice when people revile you. Rejoice when people persecute you. Does that sound normal to you? Does that sound pleasurable to you? No, it don't, does it? But nevertheless, Jesus says, blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely. But he says this, here's the key, for my name's sake. Are they doing it because you're a Christian? Your family don't understand you because you go to church. They don't get it. They don't understand it. And you're persecuted for such. You miss out on certain activities because God's house is first. This is more important. Then he says this in verse 13. Ye are the salt of the earth. He's making an exclamation and telling them how important this is. This is why you need to think this way. It's because you are, or ye are, the salt of the earth. He's reminding them, all these things he just mentioned in context must be evident in our lives because we're the salt. And these are the things people see in you and question. Who do you remember in your life that affected you most and the things that they did, I mean, for Christianity, for Christ, for the things of God? Who affected you most? Think of them in your mind, and what was it they did in their lives that made that jump out at you and say, they're a Christian? You got some in your mind? I do too, and they affected me because it didn't really make sense. They was reviled, didn't revile again. Or they gave extremely from the kindness of their heart. They seen others' needs more than their own, and that stood out and looked at me. But he says, ye are the salt of the earth. But then he says this, but if the salt hath lost its savor, I want you to think on this a moment. As Brother Michael already pointed to the next generation, this generation watches every one of us, what we do, how we act, how we respond. And we affect their decisions by what we do. We can tell them truth, and we can amen in truth. We can hear songs and praise in truth, but if we're not living truth, we've lost our savor. And to lose our savor means tasteless. We're not flavorful. In other words, we're hypocrites. Jesus says, ye are the salt. It's a direct statement. You're salt. If you're saved, you know Jesus Christ, ye are salt. But, he says, if the salt hath lost its savor, wherewith it shall be salted. Yes.
Not its savor.
Well, yes. Yes, it's him. It's him running through us. It's all about him. But if the salt lost its or his savor, it's personal. And it's not a capital H here, but nevertheless, it's Christ, allowing Christ to live through you. And that's the key of the salt. And later on, and he mentions this again because this is very important. Later on in the same sermon he's preaching, he says, ye cannot serve two masters. Thou either love one or hate the other. There's no middle ground with God. None. None whatsoever. A lot of us think there's middle ground. Well, I'm doing okay. Not according to Jesus. If you're in the okay spot, or well, I'm getting some of it down, that's not okay with him. What do you say in Revelation chapter 3? If you're neither hot nor cold, I will therefore... In other words, I'll vomit you out of my mouth. Whew. That's nasty. That's like burping. You know, you burp and you, and chunks come up with it. That's what Jesus said. If you're neither hot nor cold, if you're in the middle where you think you are, or where this salt hath lost his savor, it's good for nothing. Trodden underfoot a man. Walked on. So is our testimony. It's like Brother Michael, he said, for all them years was wasted. He did nothing. There he was. He was saved all them years, right? But not in church? Or do you know? See, there's 3 years in my life I can never get back. But you know what? I knew I was saved. I knew it. And I could not help. I'd see somebody in need. Oh, I'd wrestle with it because I wanted to stay that Secret Service name. Because when you're backslid, this is the wrong time to show out and say, I'm a Christian, by the way. I got Jesus. And it's the wrong time to come out and say, you know, I belong to God. You do what? You know, they're going to look at me and I'm going, but the Bible says this, you know, and take it or leave it. I know I'm not living right. I know I'm not doing right, but I know the Bible says this. And you have to correct them. But nevertheless, you're in that spot and position to where you got to tell them the truth. I'm the one. I'm not living right. I'm backslid. I know it. But I want to tell you the truth anyways. So the salt, if we are salt, what kind of salt are we? Do people thirst after what you have? Or is it tasteless? You ever salt something? And you hit the salt shaker, Brother Allen. You hit it. You grab your food and you done sit down and start eating. I just salted it and I taste nothing. You look at the salt shaker and it's plugged up. That's a salt shaker that's lost its shaker, okay? It's the same principle. But it ought to put flavor. Our lives ought to bring flavor where people look and say, there's something I can't put my finger, there's something different about you. What is it? What's different about you? What makes you to where you're always plugging along for God? What is it? That's the salt. Give me some input. What do you think salt could be very evident in our lives? People are watching. Well, and I've said this before. I picked them out. If I was a judge, I crucified more Christians than I tell you what, Artie, I was terrible. Because all I remember a church, Brother Michael, Southern Baptist Church. I heard the Word of God there, but I seen people telling deacons, trustees, telling dirty jokes. That's not Christian. Using foul language, that's not Christian. I was a child. No, I didn't know no Bible, but it was a principle that was clear to me. It was wrong. And it didn't make sense. And they're out there firing up their cigarettes, you know, and telling their jokes they heard at the factory that week. And I remember there's a heel. I remember trying to get as close as I could without them noticing me I was there. Because if they heard me, they'd straighten up. Kids shouldn't hear this. This is man dog. No, if it's bad for kids, somebody else are listening. He don't miss nothing. So if it's bad for kids, it's bad for us. So, the salt. What kind of salt are we? I looked a few words up here, just real quickly. This word salt here, figuratively, means prudence. I'm going, what? So I looked up deeper. The quality of prudence, in other words, consciousness, listen, of wisdom, judgment, you're conscious of these things. Not so much speaking them, but you're conscious of them. That's how you make your decisions, is weighed by God's wisdom of His Word. I thought that was very unique. Thinking everything is weighed how I think about this. Prudence. Salt. Prudence. The quality of being prudent. Consciousness. other words, you're cautious about things. You just don't dive in head first. You think, ask God, and say, God, help us. And synonyms of this word is wisdom, judgment, good judgment. Common sense is here. So, in the word earth, literally means a soil, a region, a country, or earth, or land. And the savor here means to become insipid. Now, I had to look at it. That means lacking flavor. Tasteless, flavorless, bland, weak. How do you love your steak? I like my steak tasteless. I like my steak flavorless. I like my steak bland. And here's another one. I like my steak wishy-washy, just meh. No, we don't, do we? We want that thing to jump off and you bite it and just the flavors go in our mouths as we bite into it and all the juice runs into, oops, Sharon's back there smacking her. Boy, getting hungry now, ain't you? And so, you want food to taste that way. And that's why the Lord uses something very simple to get us to understand, to His followers, to the disciples here, the multitude that's listening. And all these things, the blessed are the poor, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the meek, for theirs shall inherit the earth, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And this is this word conscious of the fact, this word prudence, these are things we ought to know. Our lives ought to expel that we are most fortunate, supremely blessed. Since the day I got saved, I become supremely blessed. My name got written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I have a home in eternity waiting for me. I have the Word of God, every possible situation, feeling, circumstance, dilemma you could run into, I find here in the Word of God. It is here. Everything we could possibly experience here on earth, we have it written. Not just here on earth, we have it for the future. This is the only thing I find. Everything's going to be melted down with fervent heat. You know, we can't even go into heaven in our condition. We have to be changed. Part of us has to be deleted because it cannot enter in. It's corrupt. It's unclean. It must be changed. But we have that part, that unrefundable down payment that God has sealed in every believer, that we know that we're a child of the King. And that presence of God, that when you want to do something wrong and He's there going, yeah, Lord, I know. Or you're tempted, you see something you shouldn't be seeing, and you pull your eyes away from it and say, Lord, help me. We live in a world with constant draws to pull us away from the things of God. That's why it's so important that we be mindful of being salt. Folks are watching. The children are watching. What kind of salt are we to these youngins right here in this place? Thenceforth means a time or degree. It is good for nothing. I can't see a salt shaker being on a table, Brother Fields, and not use it. Here our Lord says, when we become, where we've lost savor, we become a good for nothing. He didn't say that it'd be somewhat flavorful and then be somewhat usable. He said it would be good for nothing. It's almost the exact same statement we find in Revelations. It says, what? You're neither hot nor cold. I'll spew you out of my mouth. The same thing Elijah when he was on Mount Carmel, when he cried out before the people. Oh, ye people, how long ye be halt between two opinions? If God be God, serve Him. If Baal, then serve him. He said, in other words, make your mind up. You can't do both. And what was the children of Israel constantly falling into sin doing? They was constantly wanting to do both. They'd get right, Oh, don't that sound like us? We get so right. We get our Bible reading going, get our prayer life going, get our tithes going, get our missionaries off and going. Then we're out in the world and lost people around us and we say something carnal or unkind or, and it leaves a bad taste in their mouth. That's why it's so important. We need to have Christ continually always dwelling. We don't want to be a good for nothing, tasteless Christian. Because that's what we become. And I've been there. It's a bad feeling to be knowing you put a bad taste in somebody's mouth and the Lord says, that's you, buddy. That's you. I don't want to be that. I want to be that where a Lord, help me. I want people to see you in me. Everything I do. God help us. The people see Christ. We are the salt of the earth. We are the salt in this church to these youngins. We're the salt to these surrounding people watching. Watch our attitude. Down at the gas station when we're coming to church, they if you got a routine, they know it. Your neighbors know you leave every Sunday. But have you been at their door? Told them about Jesus? See, those are things. If we got something this important to us that we're here every Sunday, and you're going to die and go to hell if you're not saved, but ain't once and told them, what's wrong with us? If we have the truth, if we are salt, we need to affect people as salt. We have the answer to the world's problem. We have it. Two words, Jesus saves. And we need not be trodden underfoot. Don't let the Lord be saying, you're a good for nothing. Boy, that leaves a bad taste in my mouth. I think the Lord looks at you and says, you're a good for nothing. You know, I'm going, goodness gracious. You know. It does. It hurts. So let's leave salt in people's. Let's be the salt of the earth as the Lord intended. And I know right after as He uses light again. Light's my favorite. Because light's radiant. It shines. Always going to others. Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, dear God, we love You. Thank You for Your word. Bless it, dear God. Bless the preaching to come.